Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, and it's great to have you. If you've been here before, welcome back. If you've never been here before, welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it. My guest today is grateful, blessed, and excited about her business and about her life. She's one of three co-founders of Beautiful Disaster, a clothing company with a mission to empower the beautifully broken and the perfectly imperfect. Today, Beautiful Disaster is selling over $400,000 a month in clothing, but it's not really what you would call an overnight success. Her and her partners started in 2008, 12 years ago, and they spent the first 9 years working on the business part-time. Every weekend, every evening, and every spare moment was spent building the business. The story of Beautiful Disaster is one of perseverance and determination, mixed with this insatiable desire to make their customers' lives better. Now, let's hack. Christina DeVarney. I want you to think back. Do you remember when you started your small business? It was no small feat, was it? No, it took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little easier on yourself? Well, our friends at FreshBooks are going to help you out, and they have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than that dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. You can file expenses even quicker, and you'll keep them perfectly organized for tax time. Best part of all this? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days. No catch, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, freshbooks.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Christina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here too. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks.
What do you say we jump into it?
Let's do it.
Cool. Let's start here, Christina, right at the beginning, I guess. As an entrepreneur, Christina, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I love this question, John. Thank you. I think what Beautiful Disaster does as a brand differently than everybody else is we reverse engineer the customer so that we can provide them both what they need and what they want. And the only way that you can really do this is by listening to them. So I think where we shine is really taking the time to listen to what our customers want. We have private groups with over 100,000 members. And this is where they speak their truths, share their stories, and they open up in the most raw and real ways possible. And all we have to do is truly listen to them and engage with them and get to know who they are. And it's all revealed to us. And I truly believe that is our brand superpower.
Wow. Interesting. So this dictates what products you make?
Absolutely, it does. Mostly it dictates the designs and kind of the collections that we curate. But when we get to know the customers, who they are, where they live, what the weather's like, have them share their pictures, have them share their selfies, have them share their videos, we see what they're wearing. So when I say we just take a deep dive into who our customers really are, I mean in every aspect. What they're wearing, what they're not wearing, what colors they're wearing, what colors they're not wearing. Are they hoodie and sweatpant kind of girls? Are they kicking back in leggings and t-shirts? Do they wear tank tops? Are these dress kind of girls? So we really take note on who they are. And then we take note on what they talk about. What do they need? Are these women who love inspirational quotes? Are they women who share about their tattoos? So when I say that we pay attention, I mean, we really pay attention to the details.
Are you one of the customers too?
Of course. I'm the original beautiful disaster. Right, like that's.
I mean, obviously, like you're the founder, but I mean, I love this idea of listening and asking and finding out everything you can about them. But do you think you could do this for women in power suits?
Yeah. I mean, any private group, any pod, any place where you can really have an up close and personal interaction with your core psychographic or demographic. We like to say we have a psychographic. You can reverse engineer. Of course you can.
I didn't know if women in power suits was the exact opposite of beautiful disaster. It was the first thing that came to my head after looking.
No, actually, beautiful disasters are women in their power suits.
Oh, okay. But yes, not the kind I was picturing, maybe the corporate world kind?
No, not that kind.
Right. Okay. So because I've seen pictures of you and you're wearing beautiful disaster clothing. That's why I mean, like, do you think you could do the same thing if you just found a market? You're like, that market will just buy a ton of stuff. We just have to find out what it is, but it's totally not you. I guess that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yes.
Or is it easier when it's closer to you already as a natural sort of extension?
I believe that you can reverse engineer your customer no matter what. I believe this is something that if you had the blueprint on how we do it, you could do it anywhere with anyone. That complicated, John. It's really not that complicated. It's truly listening and observing on a level that most people aren't used to listening and observing at. It's because everything goes so fast in today's world that we just don't invest the time in paying attention. So I think the basic principles of reverse engineering your customer really begins with taking the time to pay attention to them.
It feels like when we want to reverse engineer or listen to her, because we know we're supposed to, but it feels like we're only looking for things that are validating our opinions already.
Yes, I would agree with your statement that that's in general what we're looking for or what we're hoping to find. So you really do have to kind of put on a different mindset. And when I'm doing this, I'm doing it with an open heart and I'm doing it with ease. So when I go into one of the private groups that we have has over 86,000 women in it. And I know that number sounds like, wow, I don't know if that number sounds large to you or sounds
small. Sounds very large.
Yeah.
A lot of women.
Yeah, it's a crap ton of women. Yeah. I'll put it in perspective for you. I just took my family to Monster Jam at Angel Stadium. And the stadium was packed. I mean, there was not an open seat in that place. And at the end of Monster Jam, they announced that there was 40,000 people in the stands tonight. And I had this moment. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but I had a holy shit moment where I really just was struck by, oh my God, you know, in one group alone, we have two Angel Stadiums. And it was so surreal that we're like a freaking city. Like us little beautiful disasters in this one private group are like a city. And the power that we have within this group is unbelievable. So anyway, when I'm watching what's happening in the group and I'm engaging with people's posts, I'm using two sides of my brain. One side of my brain is this empathetic human being that wants to validate people and wants to compliment them and wants to tell them everything's going to be okay. And I sincerely listen. And then the other side of my brain is, how can I help? How can I be of service to this woman? I'm sure you're familiar with the old adage, you know, whenever you're trying to invent something because you want to be the next millionaire, if there's a lack in the marketplace, you're probably not the only one that thought of it. Mm-hmm. So the other side of my brain is, okay, what is she saying? What does she need? Because I know that there's going to be thousands of other beautiful disasters that identify with what she needs. And that's the basic principle for how we serve these women through our clothing brand.
I love it. And this is you answering my first question, and it's very clearly stated by you. It's very strongly stated by you. Like, you know this at this point. But on the other side, if people don't know, Beautiful Disaster is now 13 years old. Yes. So you've had time to develop this, and then not only that, but get really confident in it because of the success behind you. When you started 13 years ago, did you know this same thing, that you had to talk to people first?
No, absolutely not. When we started Beautiful Disaster 13 years ago, it was in our garage, much like every apparel company that has ever existed. And we would go to different shows and different festivals, and we would set up our little booths. And what we began to notice was what people were saying when they came up to our booth. Oh my God, this is so me. Or they would turn to their friend, oh my God, doesn't this remind you of Susie? And we figured out that the name had so much more meaning than just words that were screen printed on a shirt or cool calligraphy or a cool hand-drawn design. It really had an identity to it. So it did take us a little bit of time to really understand that being a beautiful disaster meant so much than just wearing it on a t-shirt. So was that immediately noticed? No, it's something that we definitely grew into. But again, by paying attention. And I think that that's where a lot of, at least startups in this particular field of apparel, might be missing the mark, is they're not really paying attention. You want to have a cool clothing line because it's what you want to wear. And you make things because it's what you would wear. But what happened with Beautiful Disaster is it went from these like cheeky, cute designs and these hand-drawn prints to a movement. And it all happened because we paid attention to what people said and how they felt through our brand.
So from the garage to like selling at markets, I think you said locally, how did it like, where did it go from there? I don't even think 13 years ago that there was really e-commerce.
No, there wasn't.
No, at all.
There was no Shopify 13 years ago.
Right. I don't know. There was barely an Amazon, I think.
No, yeah.
We were selling books.
That is correct. No, it was the school of hard knocks. It was straight up guerrilla marketing. I mean, it was putting up a booth and a table at every music festival, tattoo festival, county fair. I cannot tell you, John, how much time we spent on pavement, just popping up what now has a cool term as a pop-up shop. That's what we did when we hit the blacktop every weekend, trying to get this thing off of the ground. But I think where we had a really exciting turning point was I became a wardrobe stylist for VH1. And I was able to bring our brand onto some of the most popular VH1 reality shows at that time. And that's when we really got a social boost. That's where the name became a little more recognizable. And then eventually we were able to take it on e-commerce and kind of piggyback on that publicity to get our first real boost, if you will.
Wow, apparel specialist?
Wardrobe stylist.
Wardrobe stylist. Okay, I've never heard of that. At VH1, wow.
Yeah. So
that's super helpful.
That was pretty helpful, but let me tell you, it didn't come without a sacrifice. It was a very low paying job. It was 16 to 18 hour days on the set. It was an immense amount of time away from my husband and actually working on the business and in the business, but it was a chess move.
And I wasn't in any way like insinuating that it was lucky or any of that. It's like, oh, no. you obviously put yourself there and you took that because you knew what it could do. Like,
Correct.
It's a chess move. But those chess moves also take a bloody lot of work at first.
Yes, they do. And they don't always lead you to the checkmate.
So that's true. I don't even know if I've ever gotten to a checkmate. But at what point in this 13 years did you, and then also like your partners in this, also get to go like full-time into Beautiful Disaster?
Such an important question, because people see us now 13 years mature, which isn't very mature in a clothing business anyway. And they think, wow, like, I wish I could do that. So I'm so glad you asked this because it's so important for people to understand how slowly it really happens. We say we're a 13-year overnight success because to most people, now they're finding out about us. You know, we're a $5 million a year company and we have hundreds of thousands of customers. But what they don't know is for 10 of these 13 years, two of the three partners worked a full-time salary job. Only one partner was able to be paid by the company, which was barely over minimum wage. And it took a long, long time of reinvesting every penny to be able to afford the other two partners to jump over part-time. And that only happened 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were working full-time jobs and spending every night and every weekend of our lives building this brand for 10 years.
And you didn't even lose one of the partners. No. Nobody was just like, F this.
No. Well, one of the partners is my husband. So if he said F this, he had a lot to lose.
Well, but I mean, it's 10 years. Like there could be a point where it's like, oh, I just want to do something else this weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we had thousands of those moments. I mean, we have failed so many times. We've had so many conversations of, are we doing the right thing? Like, is this ever going to work? Like, what the heck? What are we doing wrong? Are we doing anything right? I mean, I can't tell you the countless times we had those conversations. It was just never an option to give up. It just wasn't. We just knew we had something really special and we were willing to put in the sweat equity, if you will, to get it to where it needed to go. And we had very hopeful moments along the way, thank God. So there would always be a little carrot dangling in front of us that was like, okay, it's getting a little better. It's getting a little better. So it took some time, but it's definitely been worth the wait.
Right. So you were getting like some, I guess, smaller wins along the way. Like, were you actively looking for those to kind of keep momentum going, or were you looking for big wins to kind of scale it up?
You know,
I mean, it's easy to look back now and say that, but you know what I mean?
To us, a win was when we would set up our booth, let's say Aftershock, which is a big music festival in Sacramento. We had to pay like $4,000 to set up a booth there for 2 days. So for us, that was like, oh my God, like if we don't sell $8,000 in t-shirts, we're screwed. And we would leave there and do 25 grand and think to ourselves, okay, we got this. Like the risk and the reward is starting to, the scales are starting to tip. So those were wins for us. In between those wins, of course, it would be times of difficulty and are we making the right decisions? And then we would go to another show and we would see 1,000 women freak out over our brand. And so it was always renewed. It was very bipolar.
Fair enough. That's a good way to put.
I think business in general, like when you're an entrepreneur or you own your own business, it is totally bipolar as far as ups and downs and the mania and all the other things that come with it.
That's what I mean. Good way to put it. I've never thought of it that way, but it's like, wow, the highs and then the lows and then the highs and then, oh man, Most things not in between, just sort of one or the other. Are you guys 13 years on still going to concerts and shows and festivals?
John, I am happy to let you know that we have retired from that.
Nice.
Not to say that we wouldn't be largely successful should we continue to do that. We've just had such explosive growth in e-commerce that we can't afford to lose part of our team to go do those events anymore.
Fair enough. I like that.
So now we get to go to the events. We get to go to the events.
Now you get to just go watch concerts. When did you guys get into e-commerce?
Oh, gosh, it was, I want to say 2011, maybe 12 or 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, probably 2013, 2014.
Wow. Nice. And yeah. So, I mean, that's 5, 6 years on at this point, 7 years even. So it's like, You guys have had the chance to figure it out. You've kind of come up in the like first generation of e-commerce stores.
Yeah, we have. We started on a platform called Magento.
Oh, yeah.
And found that to be enormously cumbersome. And I can't remember who it was. Gosh, I don't remember who it was, but somebody said, oh, you got to try Shopify. And we got on Shopify and the game changed. I am not paid by Shopify. I'd like to be paid by Shopify. But I will tell you that that made a huge, huge difference in the growth of our business and the manageability of our online store. And it's been a great blessing to us.
Really? So the manageability of it and like sort of processing orders and getting them shipped out, that sort of thing?
Everything. I mean, from updating new items and creating new collections and adding photos, just everything was DIY. With Magento, it was like coding and all this crazy nonsense. And the Shopify platform is just so easy to use that any of us can do it at any time, which gave us back control of our website.
And so now your job is to like just get more people to the site, or is it?
My particular role is, I like to think of myself as the tribe leader. Every tribe needs a leader. So I am on the front line. So I'm upfront and personal and engaging in, whether it's through Facebook ad content, Instagram ad content, or going live within our private groups. I am the face and the eyes and the ears of the Beautiful Disaster brand.
And you're doing that for the purpose of driving people to your site to buy and to also learn?
Yeah, of course. Doing that with the purpose of sharing what it means to be a beautiful disaster, sharing the identity of being a beautiful disaster, and really with the purpose of promoting the idea that you can have a little confidence hanging in your closet through wearing our brand, and you can have support and self-acceptance through joining our private groups. I mean, it's so much more than clothing.
Wow. Where did you learn the social, since social media also didn't really exist when you started? It just shows how young our internet is, as we know.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I mean, we started on MySpace.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, so did I, but still.
Yeah. I mean, that was like the bee's
knees. Now you're talking like a social media, quote unquote, like influencer, like just the way you are in these massive groups and you are sharing and helping and benefiting others that is tied directly to your business in the same way. Like, where did you figure this out?
You just do. Like, you just, I mean, luckily for me, I'm not shy. I'm very vocal. I'm lucky to have studied under some pretty amazing mentors in the areas of leadership and personal coaching and public speaking. So my background is that I am a self-development junkie. I've taken every course you could ever possibly take. So that's the answer to your question. I learned it by self-education. If there was a course on what's the best way to do Facebook Lives? I took it. If there was a course on what the hell is Instagram? I took it. How to publicly speak, how to, you name it. I took it. So it's all just self-education because we live in the greatest time on the planet. Hence why you and I are speaking right now on a Zoom call for a podcast for millions of people to hear so that they get a little bit of self-education. So I'm a huge, huge junkie of figuring it out myself.
I love it. And I absolutely agree with you. It's an amazing time that we live in. I honestly don't know what I would do for work if I was born 30 years earlier or 20 years earlier, because there would be no internet. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'd figure something out, but
you would have been like me selling cars.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, and I wouldn't have known any better because there would be no internet, but the scale and the abilities we have to like reach anybody we want at this point it's amazing.
It's pretty bonkers.
It is. Yes. How are you guys like, so you're actively working in social media, you're working in with a lot of people in these groups, but is this something like metrically sort of quote unquote, like that you guys track, like how, like does everything you're doing, does it come back at some point to revenue?
Yes and no. You know, there's a lot of A/B testing. There are other metrics that matter to us besides revenue, things like engagement, customer satisfaction. So sometimes you have to put gas in those gas tanks, even if it doesn't have a direct return on investment, because there are some return on investments that are immeasurable. So we'll try a lot of things. I'll give you a for instance. Recently, I was doing these unbelievable, powerful interviews with some great women that have done TED Talks. And I would join them on a Zoom call and we would go live on Facebook and I would interview them live on Facebook. Well, the engagement was low. The comments were low. And I did that for about a 10-month period. And it wasn't that the content wasn't good, because the information was great. It was informational, it was entertaining, and it was relevant to our tribe. But I figured out that they don't really want to hear from anybody but me. They really don't. When it's me engaging with them one-on-one, talking to them and answering their questions and looking at their comments and engaging with them, the numbers are through the roof. And when I brought some outside guests in to try to give just different points of view on different topics, it was kind of like, meh. So everything we do does have some term of measurement that we use. And then there's other things that we can't measure on an Excel spreadsheet. That is branding. Branding is very hard to measure on a spreadsheet. You can measure advertising, you can measure marketing, you can measure sales, but branding, that's one of those things that it's really hard to get an ROI on. So we just keep doing what we do as authentically as possible. And the tribe keeps growing from a branding perspective, and it is showing up on the sales side of things. So to answer your question, yes, we do measure as much as we can, but that's not always the MO.
Right. And it doesn't have to be. And I wasn't making it that it needed to be in that way. But when you did these interviews on Facebook Live, which is interesting to me, and then realized that it wasn't like, that wasn't what your audience wanted, how many of these did you do before like being like, oh, okay, throw in the towel, let's do something else?
About 40.
Wow. Okay. So you don't just like, oh, it's been three of them and nobody's, let's just move to the next thing.
No, it's actually a pet peeve of mine when people start something and they do it twice. Like, that didn't work. It's like, what do you mean it didn't work? You didn't give it enough time to work. Like, if you want to A/B test something, you really got to A/B test it. Now, should I have probably took note of that at 20 of them? Yes.
all right, well.
But the topics were very relevant, from domestic violence survivors to doomsday cult survivors to parents that have special needs children. I mean, the topics were all over the map. They were very exciting. And there were people that were watching them and there were people that were commenting. And I was a little bit afraid to take it away from the ones who did enjoy it.
Right. And there can also be other immeasurable benefits to it. Who knows, right? Like getting to talk to those people yourself, you grow as a person, which can help other things as well. Plus you get relationships with new people.
Absolutely. I mean, like I told you, I'm a kind of self-development junkie. So in everybody's story, there's always nuggets that I can take personally. And those are the nuggets that I want the Beautiful Disaster Tribe to take away. It wasn't the way they want to consume it.
Right. And that's hard to admit sometimes, but like the clothing you make, like you have to pay attention to that. You have to not just try and validate your own opinions. You need to really listen. And if you're not willing to do that, I don't think anything you try is going to really work.
Amen to that. I mean, we can all do things because we want to. And I think that's the fastest way to see what doesn't work.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Christina. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation that I've really enjoyed. I would love to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Yes, of course.
Cool. So we're approaching my 500th interview for this show. And in this time, One of the things I've noticed is this thing I'm calling like the entrepreneurial gap. So it seems to be this place we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers in general, that no matter what we accomplish in our businesses, in just even personally, we never see ourselves as successful. So from the outside, people are listening to you and being like, oh my God, I would love to be where you are. And you might be like, well, when we get there. And it's always right before you hit that next metric, you're going to set bigger, loftier ones into the future. And yes, we need those. And that's a whole nother side story. But rather than looking forward, just for the next few minutes, I would love it if you could stop and turn around and look behind you. You've been at this for 13 or 14 years. We've heard parts of the story, but not nearly all the highs, lows, wins, and losses. But Christina, can you just tell me, how do you feel about this journey up until this very moment?
I feel grateful. I feel blessed. And I feel excited. I cannot express what it feels like to truly be doing what you love. And you tapped into it a little bit, John, when you said you don't know what you would be doing if you were born 30 years earlier because the internet didn't exist. And it's such a gift. I mean, God, the joy I have to not be an employee. Not that there's anything wrong with being an employee. It's just not for me. I was unemployable from the beginning of life, I think. I really was. Like, I always dreamed of creating jobs for other people and for being the type of quote unquote boss that I could never find in my life. Creating an environment where people truly wanted to come to work. Wouldn't just say that when it came time for their evaluation, but really a place where people genuinely wanted to come. Like, looking backwards, I remember thinking of all of this, dreaming all of it up, and to be able to walk into this 8,000 square foot facility and say hi to my smiling team and sit down and be of service to women across the globe is a freaking dream that I'm extremely grateful for.
That's awesome. I love it. Grateful, blessed, and excited.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
And I don't forget that. It could be gone tomorrow. I could be gone tomorrow. I'm filled with gratitude every single day that I can wake up on the right side of the dirt and do what I love to do and help as many women as possible feel a little bit better about themselves. That's it. That's what keeps me fired up.
And we talked about it throughout, but Beautiful Disaster. Can you now tell people specifically who it's for and then where they can track you down online?
Of course. So Beautiful Disaster, gosh, we don't have a core demographic. You don't have to be a certain shape or size. You don't have to be from a certain demographic. I think the thread that ties us all together is that we've been through hell and back. Beautiful Disaster is for the woman who has failed, who has been through some tough shit in their life, and you're still standing. You know, one of our most popular collections is called The Phoenix. And the legend of The Phoenix, of course, we all know, is rising from the ashes. So Beautiful Disaster is for the women who have had some of those times in their life when they've been reduced to ashes and they're still standing. These are the survivors, the thrivers, the women who are doing the best they freaking can every single day to move closer to happiness and further from pain. And by wearing Beautiful Disaster, you can wear it like a badge of courage. You can share a little bit of your story without saying a word. And where you can do that is bdrocks.com. We'd love to have anybody who connects with what they've heard about our brand join our tribe. We've got a private group. All you have to do is go on Facebook and look at Beautiful Disaster Clothing, and then you'll see some of our private groups that are associated as well. And this is a place for women to feel just a little bit better about themselves and to know that they're not alone in trying to just accept themselves and do the very best they can every day.
Very, very, very well said, Christina.
Thank you, John.
So BD Rocks is the main website. Facebook, we'll track down the Facebook links for you. We'll put them into the show notes, as well as there's some other social media. There's some Twitter. There's, I think, some Instagram.
Yep.
We'll see those as well. And those will all be in the show notes for you, so it's easy to track down. We'll also get some Shopify and some Magento in there in case you want to compare them yourselves. I think,
Chris. Oh, and one more thing just for your listeners. At Beautiful Disaster, we do something that's definitely unique, and I'd love for everybody to experience it. There's a lot of companies that when you buy something, they donate something to another organization or to a charitable cause. At Beautiful Disaster, our charitable cause is our customers. So we actually have the world's first pay it forward feature. And for every order that is placed at bdrocks.com, a portion of that order gets paid forward to the next person and so on and so on. And it doesn't come from the customer. It comes from the company.
Wow, that's so awesome.
So there's money waiting in every cart every time. And it's all from the Beautiful Disaster Tribe.
I love it. I love it. I need to see that work. And I'm sure everybody listening now needs to see that work.
I it's an app that I actually invented. I never in my life thought I would be in tech, but I wanted a way to give back and have that keep happening. And it didn't exist. So I made it.
It's a Shopify app?
It's about to be.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well done. Very cool. If you want something to exist in this world, don't wait for someone else to do it. Do it yourself.
You got it. Awesome. Do it before someone else does.
Exactly. Well, Christina, once again, thank you so much. I really, truly appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And just keep doing what you're doing because it is truly awesome to watch.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you for having me on. And I'm grateful that you are doing what you're doing so that you can hack into the minds of entrepreneurs and save people time and money.
Thanks. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I'm really glad that I got to share that with you. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed being part of it. Christina and the Beautiful Disaster team are just, they're really, really, I don't know. What they're doing is, it's inspiring and it's really, it's that great lesson, right? If you are struggling and you think that, oh, this just isn't going where it should, they worked on this on the side for 9 years, but now it's paying off immensely and it's continuing to grow and it will into the future. It's just one of those stories. It's not an overnight success and most things aren't, but I'm really happy I got to bring Christina and that to you. bdrocks.com, as I said, is the website. But if you need to, just head over to hacktheentrepreneur.com, our website, and we'll have show notes there for Christina. You'll find them under the podcast section and a link to everything we talked about today, as well as anything else I can dig up about Christina. Also, we've just got a ton of stuff over there for you. If you are getting started in your business, if you are in business and you want to grow it, we've got the blog where we're constantly publishing stuff for you. And there's just, you know, things you can get on the email list, all those kinds of things. All right. It's been an absolute blast. I do thank you for stopping by and I hope you do again. But until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.